the second verse, what is the first line of that? Mahatsevam dwaramahar vimuktes, tamodvaram yoshitam sankhya sangam. So, by Mahatseva, an association of great souls, many great people have benefited. But the actual benefit is change of heart. If change of heart doesn't come, then there is no benefit. You will see that every living entity in this world is wandering with some particular anartha. Somebody has the proprietorship mentality, somebody has a controllership mentality, somebody has a enjoyership mentality. So these are all counted as anarthas. If these anarthas are brought to surface and cleansed, then the association has taken place. Like Rahuguna had what mentality? Controllership mentality. So by associating with Jadabharata, he gave up that mentality. Similarly, you will find Arjuna had material attachment, which Krishna severed by giving Bhagavad Gita to him. So asanga shastrena dridhena chitva, Krishna says that. So in the same manner, mahatsevam dwaram ahuru vimuktes, the door to liberation, how it opens by association with great people. The association with great persons actually can reveal the wisdom to the person who is associating, and then that person should benefit from their wisdom by application. If the application doesn't happen, then there is no change. There is no change of heart. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told that story of that wedding party. The wedding party, it's anchored to the shore. The whole night rowing the boat didn't help. Similarly, somebody may even be a part of ISKCON and hang around. It's like going to Bhaktivedanta hospital, hanging around and coming back without meeting any doctor. If you don't meet the doctor, if you don't tell your problem to him, if he doesn't diagnose you, if he doesn't give you medicine, even if he gives you medicine, if you don't take it, even if you take it, if you don't take the dosage regularly and complete the course, you know, then there is no change of heart. I mean, there is no curing of the disease. Is it not true? Similarly, coming to ISKCON is like coming to Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and meeting the Vaishnavas is like meeting the doctors, and then you find out one of the doctors who is best suited for your, you know, disease, and then you found out, and then you told him the problem, and then he is diagnosing you. That is like a guhyam akyati prachati. Correct, no? You open your heart, you tell the doctor what all problems you are facing, and then after diagnosing, the doctor tells you, this is your problem, this has come positive. That means your anartha of false pride is confirmed, you know? Or your anartha of lust is confirmed. This particular disease is confirmed. And then he is giving a particular medicine for it. And then sometimes medicine is a bitter medicine, we may not take it. So in this way, we have to open our heart to Guru, and we get the guidance on how to overcome the anarthas. Then one can rise above the conditionings and become purified. Then the Mahat Seva has benefited us. Just like you see this Narada boy, he was supposed to just go and give the prasadam plates to the Bhaktivedantas and come back. That's what his mother told him. So did he just deliver the plate and come running away? He took permission from them. Can I also sit and listen to your, you know, narration of Lord's pastimes? And then when he became deeply touched, affected by it. Then he got initiation from them. He took instructions from them. He went to the forest, sat in meditation on Lord Vishnu, got Lord Vishnu's darshan, and elevated himself to the point of becoming an eternal associate of the Lord like Narada. So this is a very fitting pastime to show Mahatsevam, how it became practically applied by Narada boy. Correct? So that is actually the goal of Mahatseva. So we did the second one. Let's go to the third verse.
Eva mayishe kritasau hridartha janeshu deham baravartikeshu griheshu jayat majarati matsu na priti yukta yavadartascha loke.
There are six qualities of serious Krishna conscious grihasthas is given here. Yeah. Translation.
Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing the love for Godhead.
Here it begins. Number one, do not like.
Do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna.
Yeah. Number two.
They are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating and defending.
Number three.
They are not attached to their homes, although they may be householders.
Number four.
Nor are they attached to wives, children, friends or wealth.
Fifth.
At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. Such people are interested in collecting enough money to keep the body and soul together.
Yeah. See, very point wise, very nicely. Yeah. 6 points are given here. See, in the word-to-word translation, if you see, you will get the 6 points very nicely, more in detail. First point he says, Eva mayi ishe krita sauhurda artaha. Very eager to develop one of the 5 rasas. Correct, no? He says. So that means, you know, Prabhupada says here, those who are interested in developing Krishna consciousness with the Lord, what all they should do, he says, Janeshu Deha Ambhara Vartikeshu, he's saying, to people, and then those interested only in maintaining body and not in spiritual salvation, Griheshu, to the home, Jaya Atmaja Rati Matsu, consisting of Na Preeti Yuktaha, very attached, Yavadartaha, they collect only as much as is required, loke. So that Prabhupada has taken these things and put them in 6 items he's putting. First thing is they don't like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. They don't mingle with ordinary people who just maintain their body, who are eating, sleeping, waiting, defending. They are not attached to their homes, which means they are attached to large lotus feet. They are not attached to wives, children, friends and wealth means they are not attached to these things for sense gratification. But they engage with wife, children, friends and wealth in Krishna consciousness. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. Like Swayambhuman is a pure devotee. But he is not indifferent to getting his daughter married, who is Devahuti. He goes with his wife to the forest to hand over the daughter in marriage to Kardamani. Similarly, Swayambhuman is glorified for ruling the praja and keeping the praja like children very happy. So when he was returning from the forest back to his kingdom, all the praja welcomed him. So there is one verse there which says how Swayambhuman ruled. That one para, if you read, that is good enough for appreciating this. But I'll just show you that. See this one. Nishnatam yogamayasu munim swayambhuvam vanam manum yada bramshayitum bhoga nashekur bhagavat param. Because swayambhuvam manum was a bhagavat param, nashekur bhogaha yada bramshayitum. He is saying that because he was a Swayambhuva Manu, was a devotee of the Lord, he was a Bhagavat Param, he was not bramshayitum, means he was not dragged down like the materialistic people are dragged down. Read the translation.
Thus Swayambhuva Manu was saintly king. Although absorbed in material happiness, he was not dragged to the lowest grade of life, for he always enjoyed his material happiness in a Krishna conscious atmosphere.
Amazing, na? That means one can enjoy material happiness in a Krishna conscious atmosphere. This is Grihastharsham. This is the definition of Grihastharsham. Grihastharsham means one should enjoy material happiness in a Krishna conscious atmosphere. So how he... Now you may want to know, What is it? Is it spiritual happiness in a Krishna conscious atmosphere or material happiness in a Krishna conscious atmosphere? You may have the question. So if you read the purport, you will understand how he enjoyed. You can understand it now. Please read it.
The kingly happiness of material enjoyment generally drags one to the lowest grade of life, namely degradation to animal life, because of unrestricted sense enjoyment.
Because the kings had access to drinking, smoking if they want, and any number of women who may be servant maids or who may be queens, they had freedom. They had a lot of wealth at their disposal and they are monarch. So many people will be afraid to challenge them or raise any questions to them because they can be beheaded or put behind the bars. So they were in one sense autonomous, except that they were controlled by brahmanas. So sometimes the king had a lot of freedom. So he can, just like our Sugriva got into Bhogavilas, like that a king can become degraded. Yes, go ahead.
But Swayambhu Manu was considered as good as a saintly sage because the atmosphere created in his kingdom and home was completely Krishna conscious. The case is similar with the conditioned souls in general. They have come into this material life for sense gratification. But if they are able to create a Krishna conscious atmosphere as depicted here or as prescribed in revealed scriptures by temple worship and household deity worship, then in spite of their material enjoyment, they can make advancement in pure Krishna consciousness without a doubt. At the present moment, modern civilization...
That we already described, how modern civilization attached to material sense enjoyment. So I will show you further. Now, how he spent is going to be explained here.
Consequently...
No. I will show you one purport which you will read. I'm going to show you another purport which you will read. Then you will... I showed this verse only for the word dragged. He was not dragged down for that. This is the purport which I told you. You can read from the beginning of the... read it. 1 minute. This Vedic principles, you can read, yeah, the Vedic principles.
The Vedic principles are designed in such a way that the conditioned souls who have come to this material existence may be guided in fulfilling their material desires and at the same time be liberated and go back to Godhead, back home.
Yeah, this is the meaning of enjoying material happiness in a Krishna conscious atmosphere, which means conditioned souls have material sense desires. So they should be allowed to enjoy them. At the same time, they should not enjoy in such a way that they will lose the train back to Godhead. Correct? Now, you remember I told the example? Lonavala example, isn't it? Somebody went to buy chikki, the train was gone. I told you, no? So, yeah, one shouldn't enjoy the senses in such a way that one misses the ticket back to Godhead. Now, how he did it is explained beautifully now. Please read it.
It is understood that Emperor Swayambhu Manu enjoyed his household life by following these principles.
I will request all of you to picturize the life of Swayambhu Manu, everyday life. Every sentence given here. So you can remember it, you can narrate to other people also. Yes.
It is stated here that early in the morning, there were musicians who used to sing with musical instruments about the glories of Lord. And the emperor with his family personally used to hear about the pastimes of Supreme Person. This custom is still prevalent in India in some of the royal families and the temples. Professional musicians sing with shahnais and the sleeping members of house gradually get up from their beds in a pleasing atmosphere. During bedtime also, singers sing songs in relationship with pastimes of Lord with shahnai accompaniment and the householders gradually fall asleep remembering the glories of the Lord. In every house, in addition to singing program, there is an arrangement for Bhagavatam lectures in evening. Family members sit down, hold Hare Krishna Kirtan, hear narrations from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and enjoy music before going to bed. The atmosphere created by this Sankirtan movement lives in their hearts and while sleeping, they also dream of singing and glorification of Lord. In such a way, perfection of Krishna consciousness can be attained. This practice is very old, as learned from this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Millions of years ago, Swayambhu Manu used to avail himself of this opportunity to live householder life in the peace and prosperity of Krishna conscious atmosphere. As far as temples are concerned, in each and every royal palace or rich man's house, inevitably there is a nice temple, and the members of household rise early in the morning and go to temple to see the Mangal Aarti ceremony. The Mangal Aartika ceremony is the first worship of morning. In the Aartika ceremony, a light is offered in circles before the deities, as are a conch shell and flowers and a fan. The Lord is supposed to rise early in the morning and take some light refreshment and give audience to the devotees. The devotees then go back to the house or sing glories of Lord in the temple. The early morning ceremony still takes place in Indian temples and palaces. Temples are meant for assembly of general public. Temples within the palaces are especially for the royal families. But in many of these palace temples, the public is also allowed to visit. The temple of the King of Jaipur is situated within the palace, but public is allowed to assemble. If one goes there, he will see that temple is always crowded with at least 500 devotees. After Mangal Aarti ceremony, they sit down together and sing the glories of Lord with musical instruments and thus enjoy life. Temple worship by royal family is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, where it is stated that those who fail to achieve success in Bhakti Yoga principle within one life are given chance to take birth in next life in a family of rich men or in a royal family or a family of a learned brahmanas or devotees.
Yeah, and then he goes on to Shuchinam, Srimatam Gehe and all that. So now, in order for our life in this world to be like this, people should have a cool head, correct, no? You know? Basically what he is saying here is rise early in the morning, along with the shanai sound, singing the Lord's glories. The kings used to get up with queen and chill and everything, hearing the Lord's glories, and then take a bath, come for Mangal Aarti program, everything, and then go for your duty during the day, and then evening again you hear Ramayana Katha, Mahabharata Katha, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and then night go to bed with hearing the. So in this way, the day begins with Krishna and the day ends with Krishna. And in the middle of the day, you perform the household duties, because what happens is, the early morning, hearing these kirtans and hearing katha about the Lord, you know, it softens our consciousness in such a way that during the day, one can execute one's householder duties without getting entangled. It actually makes our heart softer towards Krishna. So then Krishna is actually in the background. I had this experience when I was in Chowpatty temple. I used to go from Chowpatty to IIT for doing my project during the last semester in IIT, you know. So early morning we will attend all the program and everything, and then at about 8:39 we would leave. So even after you go to IIT, you are in the lab, the morning Mangal Aarti, Narasimha Aarti, everything will be ringing in the background, consciousness, you know. You heard very nice kirtan, you met devotees. So the impressions created by the association of devotees and the Lord is powerful in the early morning. Then you do your activities. So I was physically in the lab, but mentally in the temple. Similarly, in the night when you come back, you eat prasad, you meet the devotees, you hear something nice, and then you go to bed. So Prabhupada says, if you read Krishna book at night, you'll get Krishna dreams. Prabhupada says that. Or if you are talking mundane subject matter, then most people watch TV and go to bed slowly. Correct, no? They're watching some serial, movie. Some people watch ghost movie. Then they're sleeping, ghost will come. Correct, no? So that's what, it's a very simple program. Prabhupada is saying, how did Swayambhu Manu enjoy householder life in a Krishna conscious setting? Like that he's telling. So in this way, then what happens? Then the king's relationship with the wife and the children is one of affection, not one of exploitation or sense gratification. So in this way, the king's royal families lived like this, Prabhupada says in the purport. So here if you see, now apply this verse number 3 to Swayambhu Manu. Just check it. They do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna, correct? Not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their body, eating, sleeping. That's not his goal. He is always Krishna conscious. not attached to their homes. In fact, you might have heard, Swayambhu Manu, in his retirement stage, he performed penance and one demon came to eat him up. Do you know that? And he was saved by Lord only, in the form of Yajna. His name was Yajna. One who came and saved Swayambhu Manu from demon. Lord personally protected him also. He's a pure devotee. So you saw his lifestyle. What are the qualities of a seriously practicing devotee? So now here he says, they are not attached to homes, although they are householders, they are attached to wife, children, friends, family. This doesn't mean that he leaves the home and takes sannyas and runs away or something. He is surrounded by wife, children, everybody, family, but they are indifferent to the execution of the duty. Duty goes very smooth in such a family. Collecting, and then they collect money only for keeping body and soul together. So, Prabhupada is saying here, in the purport, whether he is an impersonalist or devotee, one should not mingle with those who are simply interested in maintaining body. Even if one is a grihastha, one has to earn his livelihood and should be satisfied by collecting only enough money. A householder should endeavor to earn money for the execution of bhakti yoga, he is saying. So basically Prabhupada is stressing on the point that a householder should not get carried away by the rat race of making his material life very bombastic and sturdy, and one should not get lost in Krishna consciousness. So now somehow or other in the modern times there is a craze which has come. People think that economically you have to be very sound, that the world is in very risky stage. So we have to make good amount of money and security. People fear a lot. Actually, the Vedic time there was, people knew that according to our destiny, you know, we may be middle class or lower middle class or upper middle class, whatever you may be. I remember even 15-20 years ago in ISKCON also, people would be going out preaching, people would be hosting a program in their house, people would be very Krishna conscious. But now the times have changed. Everywhere there is a fear of security, and everybody thinks that money is the only shelter. That's what Prabhupada is writing like this. So, okay, fourth one. He says, if somebody argues, why do you say don't chase after money, don't chase after sense gratification? He says, because sense gratification leads to misery and sin. It leads to sin and misery, and it leads to repetition of cycle of birth and death. Noonam pramatta kurute vikarma yadindriya preetaya apranoti nasadu manyeyata atmanoyam asanna pikleshada ashadeha. Yeah, translation.
When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity.
Like he may collect bribe. Because bribe is one shortcut to make more money. Correct, no? He may indulge in cheating, other living entities to make quick money. Or he may adopt some shortcuts to get money. Like some people want to put money in some shares where they can multiply the money 10 times, 20 times. There are banks which give you 24%, 36% also, you know, interest. So, once a person puts money there, can his mind be peaceful? Can his mind be peaceful? His mind cannot be peaceful because he's always worrying that money may be anytime, it may go diwala, bank may go diwala, correct, no? Or if somebody is accepting, like one fellow called me on phone and said, Prabhuji, in my company, he's a devotee. He said, Prabhuji, in my company, I have a chance to pass a tender. If I pass, I will get 1 lakh rupees. You know, they will give me. Of course, that tender, if he passes, the project involves crores of rupees. But he is the man who is in passing stage. So, he says that I will get under the table money. You know, like a bribe. I'll get 1 lakh. And there are 4 or 5 companies applying for it. And if I pass this company, I'll get 1 lakh. Another company gives 60,000. 60,000 they will give. Another company gives 20,000. So, this is the company which gives the highest. But only thing is, if I pass this company, my company will be at a loss. You understand the point, no? Otherwise, how are they giving you 1 lakh? You know, they loot from your company and they give you bribe. You understand, no? So then I told him, see, tomorrow if your company finds out that you have chosen a wrong tender, which is causing loss for the company. They will ask you, why you chose that? Why you didn't choose the company which was not giving any bribe to him? That was the best company, you know, which was coming. That is best from whose point of view? For company point of view. But from his point of view, he will get zero money. You all understand this point? But if he chooses this tender, then his company will lose big money, and then his company may lose 5-6 lakhs. But he gets 1 lakh. So they loot his company for 5-6 lakhs and they give him 1 lakh. So then I told him, tomorrow, is there a possibility they will find out? I suppose there's a little possibility. Everybody is busy, he said, in their own work. They may not find out also. They may find out. Remote chances there. Maybe in case my superiors doubt me, why I chose this company, they may look into the matter. They may put a panel to test. And if they test, I asked him, what will happen? They may throw me out of job also. Likely, because I am doing some golmaal, we call it. Golmaal means under the table money or something. Then I said, see, these shortcut activities will never make you happy. You are getting monthly salary, company is giving a monthly salary. Don't get into these things, I told you. So you will find, therefore he is saying, when sense gratification becomes aim, then he was telling, oh, Prabhu, actually, you know, I have to get my daughter married, if I can make money. Also, Prabhu, I don't want to take all this 1 lakh, you know, 10% of this I want to give to Krishna also. You will also get 10,000, he told me. I said, this is bribe for me, you know, so that I will allow you to collect this 1 lakh. Correct, no? You become so foolish, you want to cheat devotees also. Yes, that's what he is saying. He suddenly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. Yes, go ahead.
He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body, which although temporary, is cause of his misery.
See, this body is called Kleshada. Narada gives you Narayana, and this body is Kleshada gives you Klesh. Correct, no? So, he is saying that this body, see, when bad karma comes in our life, you know how it comes? In the Bhaktira Samrita Sindhu, it is explained. The first installment of Prarabdha Karma is material body. Second installment of Prarabdha Karma is the diseases in the material body. Now, why is a disease a second installment? Unless the first installment of material body is given, you cannot repose diseases on a flesh because you can't impose it on the soul. Therefore, the material body is first given. Like a tree is first created, then the neem fruits come out. Similarly, the body is first given and then the suffering fruits are coming out of the body. You will see like that. So therefore, he is saying this body is the bed of sufferings. This body actually becomes the basis for all sufferings. So acquiring a material body itself is suffering. Klesha da is telling. One time Prabhupada was telling one example. Mustard seed, you know. Not mustard seed. What do you call that? Till, what do you call it? Till, you know. Sesame, yeah. Sesame seed. Sometimes the sesame seed is used for chanting a mantra and throwing it on somebody to remove a ghost. Generally it is, for removing ghost they use some technique. So that till, imagine Prabhupada said, if ghost only enters into till, then what will you do? He asked. That means till only is useless, you have to throw it. So why Prabhupada gives this example? People want to use material body to get sense gratification. Like for example, people want to use body to eat nice foods and enjoy. They want to use the material body to sleep nicely and enjoy. They want to use material body to enjoy sex and enjoy. Correct? But one comes to know the material body itself is suffering. Then what do you have to do? You have to throw away that till only. Similarly, you have to give up the material body. Then Prabhupada said, no more, please repeat this, no more material body, no more material world, no more misery. That is Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, therefore, you have to give up the Asannapi Kleshada, he is saying. The material body is a giver of suffering. That's the point he is making. Therefore, I think it is not befitting an intelligent man to involve again in the activities of sense gratification by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another. The example is given in 11th canto. When a tree is green, it showers seeds. And when those seeds fall on the ground, they give rise to more trees. And then this tree dries up. Now what has happened? Similarly, our material body, when we are youthful, young, hale and healthy, and the youths get into all bad habits. Because in young body, the blood is hot and you want to do some activity. And when people are not engaged in a positive Krishna conscious way, then people indulge in doing sinful activities. So that is like producing more seeds. You produce more seeds for the future. And then we become old people, hair has fallen away, teeth is fallen, everything, you know, one becomes skinny and bony and one dies. But then in youth you have produced seeds which will ensure that you get more material bodies. And in those material bodies we will suffer the consequences of what we did right now. Correct, no? So that's what he is saying. Example. So what we have to do is, one has to be very careful not to produce sinful reactions while one is having a hale and healthy body. Correct, no? Therefore he is saying, Ma kuru dhana jana yauvana garvam harati nimeshat kala sarvam maya mayamidam akilam hitva brahmapadam tvam pavishaviditva bhaja govindam. He is saying, do not be proud of dhana jana yavana, of your wealth or your followers or about your youth that you have, because these things, harati nimesha, one slap of kala, everything will be taken away. One slap. You may say, Hare, yesterday night I was talking to him, next day morning he's dead. He's gone. One slap of time, he's saying. Therefore he's saying, while you are alive, when the soul is sitting in the body, shaknoti hai vayasodum, Krishna says, Praksharira vimokshanat kama krodot bhavam vidhi sayuktasya sukhi naraha. He's telling that when you are young, hale and healthy, body is green, like the tree is green, so body is healthy. He says, kama krodot bhavam vidhi. Kama and krodha, you have to restrain them by developing higher taste in devotional service. If one does it, then one will not produce the misery seeds. Otherwise, one will produce seeds for the next bodies. Like that he is saying. Prabhupada says, the four activities of illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. These are the means by which one gets another material body that is full of miseries. See, Prabhupada has very black and white given. When we break four regs, we get future material bodies, he is saying. So don't break the four regs, he is saying. Otherwise, living it is not really connected to the material world. So very unfortunate situation. So he is saying, Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma, he is saying. Matta means mad. Pramata means sufficiently mad. Unmata means gone case. Like that. Matta, pramata, unmata. So the living entity is sufficiently mad, he says. Why? Because kurute vikarma, he indulges in breaking the four regulative principles, he is telling. So, like for example, Prabhupada here, if you see, the four sinful activities are, always begins with what? What is the first activity, he says? The third line. Illicit sex. Then he says meat eating. Then intoxication. Then gambling, he says. He says that because sometimes even a man who is married is not satisfied. He tries to go for more partners. Then he becomes more degraded. In this way, and if one is a celibate, then one has to be thoroughly honest in avoiding breaking these four regulative principles, because this is the cause of the further material bodies. As the Avadhut Brahmana of the 11th canto says this, that the tree showers seeds when it is green. So that's the warning he is giving. Basically he is saying sense gratification leads to misery and sin, and cycle of birth into the repetition. So one should not chase after sense gratification, like that he is telling. Parabhavastha vada bhoda jato yavanna jigyasata atmatattvam yavat kriyastavadidam manobai karmatmakam jena sharira bandah. See, one passing point, one quick point. Now many devotees, when they hear this kind of reports, they may feel that this is actually not relevant to us, what we read just now. Because we are not sinners, we are not breaking the regulative principles, we are actually devotees. This may be probably for the non-devotee karmis or demons outside. You may think like that. But how devotees can be dragged into these bad habits? One of the first thing is prajalpa and idle curiosity. There are some innocent, juvenile delinquency, we say, which means actually teenage bad habits. like for example, the Vatsasura, whom Krishna killed, he is compared to juvenile delinquency. It's mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book, Demons in Vrindavan Leela. What he says, the Vatsasura appears like a child. Similarly, there are child-like bad habits that even devotees can have in their life. Because sometimes the mind wants some fun or some play. Because the living entity by nature wants some humor. Because eternally he enjoys transcendental humor. When transcendental humor is not there, then he wants some material humor in this world. So in this, when he wants this, he gets into some playful habits, which are playful in the beginning, which become dangerous at the end due to ideal curiosity. Like I showed you on a video, remember? The monkey was trying to catch the ear of a tiger and pull it. Remember that, no? And the tiger was becoming angry. The monkey was again and again jumping and coming and hitting him on the head and going back. Now imagine if the tiger once captures the monkey's hand or something, he will tear him to pieces. Similarly, our mind also sometimes want to playfully, touch Maya and go back. Like that tendency is there. Even after one becomes a devotee, one becomes playful. So this is called ideal curiosity. This is the one of the prominent ways in which devotees fall down. Therefore, we should not take these purports very lightly. So although we know the truth for sure, but still there is a tendency for, there is a saying in English, curiosity kills the cat. Curiosity kills the cat, it is said. So in this way, when one is unnecessarily, Prabhupada said, I am only worried that my devotees are not sufficiently fearful of. You are walking in the road, if there is a wire, electric wire lying, you don't know whether it is carrying electricity or not. You are walking with bare foot. You can put your foot on that, or you can cross over it and go, or you don't cross also, go in the side in another way, which is safer. Yeah, go in some other way, don't play with it. Or somebody may, I want to check whether there is really electricity, and you put your feet. Correct. Similarly, in dealing with Maya, if devotees are not cautious, so then they can be knocked down by Maya. And they have been knocked in this world. People who cross the Lakshman Rekha, they all have suffered in this world. And actually, the respect and affection for Guru, and sufficient fear of Maya, and eyes and intelligence focused on going back home, back to Godhead, understanding the contamination that comes from bad association, these are all very important for practicing devotees, so that they have the resolve to be fixed up. We should know that while we are seated in the material body as living entities, we have many lower tendencies. Actually, we should not be afraid of Maya, we should be afraid of ourselves only. We should be afraid that my own mind and senses can lead me to hell. So I have to be very careful. So anyone who is very cautious and careful, at the same time prayerful, will definitely be protected by the Supreme Lord. Certainly the test that is being given to us is not beyond our ability to pass. But one should keep oneself very safely, like Brahmaji tells Priyavrat, you should keep yourself in between the two recess, the place where the Lord's lotus feet. It's like a padapankacha kosh, is saying. It is like a whirl of a lotus. The whirl of a lotus, if you go inside, there is honey, there is fragrance, there is tenderness, everything is there. Similarly, in the Lord's lotus feet, there is tenderness and joy, there is honey-like katha, there is fragrance. So it's a very joyful place to stay under Lord's lotus feet. One should safely stay and not try to come out and try to venture into Maya out of idle curiosity. Therefore, Nunam Pramatta Kurute Vikarma Yadindriya Priti Apranoti, he says. Then here Parabhavastha Vadabodhajato, read the translation.
As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual values of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaka, colored with fruitive activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear. And as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, he has to accept a material body.
See, the purport is very, very special purport, read it.
Generally, people think that one should act very piously in order to be relieved from misery. But this is not a fact. Even though one engages in pious activity and speculation, he is nonetheless defeated. His only aim should be emancipation from clutches of Maya and all material activities. Speculative knowledge and pious activity do not solve the problems of life. One should be inquisitive to understand his spiritual position, as stated in Bhagavad Gita.
And then he goes on. Yatidamsi samidugne basmasat kurti Arjuna. As blazing fire turns fire into ashes, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all the reactions of mental activities. So one has to understand the Atma and its activities. Like the Prabhupada says, if he wants to become free from bondage. After 8-10 lines, Prabhupada says, karmis certainly take on one body after another. As far as jnanis are concerned, unless they are promoted to the topmost understanding, they must return to the material world. Arhya krichrena parampadam patantyado. Or vohunam janmanamante, he says. And last line of the Prabhupada says, the real bhakta is untouched by any tinge of karma and jnana. His only purpose in life is to serve the Lord. Like that he is saying. Because if, as long as the jiva does not inquire about Atma, then he is defeated in achieving freedom, he is telling. Which means here the highlight of the fifth verse is what? If I shouldn't do vikarma, should I do pious activities? Therefore, Prabhupada has told us what is real pious activity. You know that verse, yesham tu antakatam papam jananam punyakarmana. So Prabhupada says, what is this punyakarmana? One should put a full stop to sin and one should do punyakarmana. Then he says, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravanakita. This is the Punya activity we should do, he says, hearing and chanting, he says. Because this is spiritual pious activity, not material pious activity. Material pious activities again bind us. That's the one of the points here. Also, the previous verse told, Nunam Pramatta Kurute Vikarma. So if we don't want to do Vikarma in life, and we have curiosity and such kinds of things, then what should the devotee do? 24/7 devotee should be engaged. There should be no gap, time gap available for any other wrong contemplation. Either you are hearing, or you are chanting, or you are reading, or you are serving. Those devotees who keep themselves preoccupied always in some kind of Krishna conscious activities, they are very most safely situated devotees. And also one interesting thing with the mind is, if you tell, for example, today I have 6 things to do, and the mind keeps itself very absorbed in it. Okay, this I have done, I have to do this, I have to do this. So we have to create engagements for ourselves. What I used to do in Kunjaberi temple when I had come, I would take some series of lectures of my special master sometimes, like 10 lectures, and I would make a plan. In 2 weeks, I'll complete it. So you give a target to yourself, and then you hear little by little and make some notes. And then by the end of 2 weeks, you could only finish 7 or 8. Some are remaining, no problem. You at least made an effort. But in this way, we have to give... See, karmis have self-created duties which bind them. But if devotees in their free time create self-created duties for serving Krishna, that will liberate you. If you create some duties for yourself. Like for example, now Janmashtami is coming. Like one devotee was telling me, Prabhu, I want to finish Krishna book once through. Before Janmashtami comes. I said, Arey, you have very short time. Now we have only 2 weeks. He said, rest 2 weeks, I'll complete the book, at least reading once through, fastly. Similarly, Gaurapunima is coming. Then you read Chaitanya Charitamrita once through. Some people take a vow like that. So we have to give projects, spiritual projects for ourselves to keep ourselves busy. Not only reading, even doing also. Like for example, marathon. I will distribute this many Bhagavad Gitas. Or this many Bhagavatams. I will do it. Similarly, in a week, this particular department service, I will do this much. So each of us, you will see as you grow in seniority, very few people are going to be watching you over your shoulder. How many of you understand this easily? Correct, no? You agree? Yeah. Actually, when you are very young, many people are all around you, keeping at gunpoint. Especially for PDC. You know, there are 4 or 5 fellows above you. There are immediately 2 coordinators on either side to watch you. Isn't it? And above you there is Antardeep Prabhu and there is also Revatipati Prabhu and myself also. I get, isn't it, many people watching you. Plus you go to Bhakti Shastri, you have Balagavan Prabhu above, Vamshivadan Prabhu, Murari Prabhu. So you will always find that somebody's up. As you grow in seniority, slowly you will find nobody will be around. Huh? You look up, nobody except the spiritual master who is very far away up. Huh? And then you will have to think on your own feet how you to keep yourself busy and engaged. Because it is expected that when you grow in seniority, you can sit in a room, take your pen and paper and think about how to expand the movement of Krishna consciousness. You are supposed to think, what is because of expanding Krishna consciousness? You have to save yourself first, isn't it? So we have to keep ourselves engaged. See, our Sadhayak Prabhu and team, they gone to Dharwad. Now you ask them, now they are sitting in a very serene place. Now they have to plan on how to expand Krishna consciousness there. In that place, you will find like this, each of us. Therefore, the solution is very simple. Keep oneself engaged in some form of Krishna consciousness moment after moment. That is the solution. If one does that, then you are actually accumulating spiritual coins moment after moment. Correct, no? Otherwise, don't accumulate material coins, which is material punya, good for nothing. Like Indian coins are useless in US. You will need dollar notes there. Similarly, our pious activities are useless to liberate us. We will need spiritual coins. So we have to accumulate spiritual count. It's called Bhakti Sukriti. So he said, otherwise we'll be defeated again and again, he is saying. Therefore, you find Ajamila was a pious fellow, but he fell down. You see? And despite all his piety, you will see that. So many qualities of Ajamila are glorified. You will see that Ajamila was, Shruta Sampanna, Dridavrata. So many things are said there. You know? He was a Sadachari, and he was, there are 5-6 qualities are said there in that chapter. You will see that. So, on the other hand, if somebody comes to, there is one verse, Tyaktva Swadharmam Charanam Bhujam Harir Bhajannapakpo Tapate Tato Yadi Yatrakpava Badram Abhuda Mushyakim Kovarta Aapto Avachatam Swadharmataha. Actually, Swadharma Nirataha means a person who is situated in performing his Varnashrama duty. Such a person is condemned in this verse. Because he may just do his duty and be very pious like Ajamila was. But even such a person can fall. On the other hand, if a devotee of the Lord who adopts the Mamekam Saranam Braja principle given by Lord and surrenders to Him, even if he falls also, he says, what loss is there in such a fall? Narada is asking. Because whatever spiritual coins he accumulated during that period of having surrendered to Lord, they are to his account and they are imperishable, indelitable, undepletable. They are undepletable and indelitable, permanently recorded. So therefore, and then very swiftly, Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma, Krishna says, very quickly they come back to Krishna consciousness again. So therefore, one should not ignorantly engage in material pious activities which lead to bondage, he is saying. Evam mana karma vasham prayunkte avidyayatmanyupadhiyamane Pritirna yavan mayibasu deve namuchyate deha yoge natavat.
When the living entity is covered by the mode of ignorance, he does not understand the individual living being and the supreme living being, and his mind is subjugated to fruitive activity. Therefore, until one has love for Lord Vasudev, who is none other than myself, he is certainly not delivered from having to accept a material body again and again.
See, while the how does the mind become absorbed in action? That is explained here, that while the jiva is engaged by ignorance with the covering of the subtle body, he will remain with material body as long as bhakti does not appear, he is saying. And knowledge of Atma Tattva is not capable of uprooting impressions in our mind. Only bhakti can uproot. This is a very deep point. See, knowledge of Atma, Aham Brahmasmi, is not enough to uproot our material impressions in the mind, he is saying. Although it can help to some degree, it's not the total, just like it's like a dust settling in a water glass. You take a spoon and stir it, again dust comes up. Like that, jnanis, using the Atma Tattva principle, they they remove the impurity. They don't remove the impurity, they settle the impurities. Again it comes up. But by bhakti you can remove, uproot the impurities, he is saying. Therefore he is using the word Pritir Nayavan Mayi Vasudeve. Atma Tattva Jnanan is not enough. One has to develop Vasudeva Priti. Vasudeva Katharuchi. Without that, Namuchyate Deha Yogena Tavat. One cannot become liberated. He's saying, read the purport.
When the mind is polluted by fruitive activity, the living entity wants to be elevated from one material position.
See, that fruitive activity can be pious also. You understand, no? When the mind is polluted by fruitive activity, pious or impious. Yeah.
Generally, everyone is involved in working hard day and night to improve his economic condition. Even when one understands the Vedic rituals, he becomes interested in promotion to heavenly planets.
Yeah, and then they go round and round in the cycle of birth and death, he's saying, in different species, different forms. Unless he comes in contact with the devotee of the Lord, a guru, he does not become attached to the service of Lord Vasudeva. When knowledge of Vasudeva requires many births, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Bahunam Janmanamante, he's saying. And then he's quoting Brahmanda Brahmite Kona. So this sixth verse, what is it is teaching? Without love for Krishna, no freedom from bondage. That's the point. Verse number 6. See their theme. Without love for Krishna, there is no freedom from bondage. So here, this one is, ignorant material pious activities lead to bondage. That was the previous one. Correct, no? And then without love for Krishna, Pritir Nayabad Mayi Vasudeve. So this teaches one very important lesson, the sixth verse, that Rishabhadev is not teaching some Shushka Vairagya. Because somebody may think this Nayam Deho Deho Bhajam Duloke and all these verses, when one sees, it looks like a jnani, he looks like a yogi or something. No. He is ultimately saying bhakti is the only way. He says that without Pritir Nayavad Mayi Vasudeve, he is saying Vasudeva Bhakti is necessary. See, what does the Vasudeva Bhakti do? It overruns the heart of a devotee with spiritual feelings. So, see, there's a beautiful verse, you can repeat this. Deha smriti nahi ar, samsara kupa kahantara, taha hai te na chahe udar, viraha samudra jale, kamati mingile gile, gopi gane na he tarapar. This is about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's overwhelming devotion is explained in this. Deha smriti nahi yaar. A devotee of the Lord in the bhakti bhavana, he forgets his body, he says. Deha smriti nahi yaar. He doesn't even know in which body he is seated. He doesn't know I am a male or a female, I am an animal or a human. He forgets external bodily consciousness. And samsara kupa kahantar. Where is the question of liberating myself from samsara kup? I am not even feeling I am in samsara kup. Because one is absorbed in remembrance of the Lord. Correct, no? He's saying. Taha haite nacha hai uddhar. I don't desire uddhar at all. Why? Because in remembrance of the Lord, I don't see difference between spiritual world and material world. Like our, he said, no, Prabhadana Saraswati. He said, you know, kaivalyam narakayate tadashapura akasha pushpayate durdan tendriya kala sarpapatali prodkhata damstrayate vishwam purna sukhayate. He says, the whole world has become a very happy place for me. He is telling, vishwam purna sukhayate. He doesn't say this dukalayam. He is saying it is sukhalayam, he says. Because in remembrance of Krishna, you forget the even the material body, bodily concept of life. Then samsara kopa kahantar. Where is the blind well of material life that for me to come out of? Because I am not in the blind well, I am with Krishna, he is saying. Taha haite nachahe uddhar. Therefore, I don't work for uddhar. Only jnani fellows have to worry about uddhar. Like that he is telling. Therefore, the path of bhakti is much different than the path of jnana. Jnani people are worried about suffering and all. Bhaktas don't worry about suffering. Bhaktas don't care for suffering. They ignore the suffering and they absorb themselves in the Lord. So therefore he is saying, Pritir Nayavan Mayi Vasudeva means, when we become, just like the gopis of Vrindavan, it is explained, we will recite one more verse by Brahma. Tavat Raga Dayas Tenaha తావత్కారాగ్రహం గృహం తావత్ మోహోంగ్రి నిగడో యావత్ కృష్ణనతే జనాః. యు నో వాట్ ఈస్ సెయింగ్ హియర్? ఈస్ సెయింగ్ తావత్ రాగ ఆదేయస్తేనః. ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ద మెటీరియల్ అటాచ్మెంట్స్ బికమ్ థీవ్స్ విచ్ స్టీల్ అవే అవర్ యునో జ్ఞానరత్న ఆర్ భక్తి ఇన్ అవర్ హార్ట్. ఇట్ క్యాన్ స్టీల్ అవే విచ్ వన్స్ మెటీరియల్ అటాచ్మెంట్స్ లైక్ యు నో దిస్ అవర్ వాట్ ఇస్ దిస్ నేమ్ యమునాచార్య వెన్ హి వాజ్ అ కింగ్ కరెక్ట్ హీ బికేమ్ సో బిజీ అండ్ ప్రియాకుపైడ్ యాజ్ అ కింగ్ దట్ హిస్ డివోషనల్ సంస్కార్ హెస్ వెంట్ టు ద బ్యాక్గ్రౌండ్ కరెక్ట్ నా. సో తావత్ రాగాదేస్తేనాహ ఈ సైంగ్. సిమిలర్లీ బిల్లో మంగల్ హీ బికేమ్ అటాచ్ టు చింతామణి డ్యూ టు విచ్ హిస్ డివోషన్ బికేమ్ కవర్డ్ ఓవర్ లేటర్ ఆన్ ఇట్ కేమ్ అవుట్. అండ్ సెకండ్ ఈ సైంగ్ తావత్ కారాగృహం గృహం ఈస్ టెలింగ్ హోమ్ బికమ్స్ ఎ జైల్ ఫర్ రిచ్ పీపుల్ హూ పుట్ అ వెరీ బిగ్ డోర్ అండ్ వాల్ అండ్ నాట్ లెట్ సాధుస్ కమ్ ఇన్ టు గివ్ దమ్ సమ్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్. సో దట్ హోమ్ ఓన్లీ బికమ్స్ ఎ జైల్ ఫర్ దమ్ ఈ సైంగ్ తావత్ కారాగృహం గృహం ఈ సైంగ్. అండ్ దెన్ ఈ సైంగ్ తావత్ మోహోంగ్రి నిగడో. ద మోహ మీన్స్ ఇల్యూషన్స్. ఎ మ్యాన్స్ ఇల్యూజరీ అట్రాక్షన్స్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ టు రిలేటివ్స్ ఫ్రెండ్స్ సొసైటీ మోహంగ్రి నిగడో మీన్స్ దే బికమ్ లైక్ టేబర్ నాకల్స్ ఫర్ అ లయన్. యు నో హౌ ద లయన్స్ ఆర్ కాట్? దే పుట్ ఇన్ ద ఫీల్డ్ దే పుట్ సమ్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ బకల్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ థింగ్. వెన్ లయన్ గోస్ అండ్ పుట్స్ హిస్ ఫుట్ ఇట్ ఇమీడియట్లీ క్యాచెస్. లైక్ దట్ ద లివింగ్ ఎనిటీస్ ఆర్ క్యాప్చర్డ్ బై యునో రిలేషన్షిప్స్ ఆఫ్ మదర్ ఫాదర్ యునో హస్బెండ్ వైఫ్ చిల్డ్రన్ ఫ్యామిలీ అండ్ దట్స్ లైక్ బకల్ క్యాచెస్. అండ్ దెన్ లాస్ట్ లైన్ ఈస్ సెయింగ్ యావత్ కృష్ణన తే జనాహ. As long as one does not become a Vishnu Jan or a Krishna Jan, neither is saying. See, this Brahma is telling in relation to gopis of Vrindavan. The gopis are working in field. The gopis are milking the cow. The gopis are boiling the milk. They are making butter. They appear to be completely like ordinary householders in Vrindavan, he says. But at every moment they are remembering Krishna. Because of which these three problems are not relevant to them. Because they have become Krishna Jan, he is telling. So because they are Krishna Jan, at every moment they are remembering Krishna in the background of their mind. So none of these apparent worldly activities can lead to bondage, he says. Now, that is what here he is saying. When one has developed love for Vasudev, like Yashoda is sitting and making butter, but she is making some poems based on pastimes done by Krishna the previous day. And she is singing those pastimes and churning the butter also. And her bangles and earrings are swinging to and fro and they are making sound like a kartal. So, you can imagine nobody has ordered her to do this. She is not paid for doing it. There is no pressure from anywhere. It is actually, that is the nature of bhakti. It springs from the heart. So, in such a fond remembrance of Krishna, can any other remembrance overtake her mind? Is it possible? That is the secret of bhakti, he says here. Pritirna yavan mai vasudeve. If priti for Vasudeva has come, then a person has no other distraction, he's saying. I think today morning also we were saying, the fixity of the mind and concentration of mind and intelligence on one thing is possible only when it is fixed on Krishna. The other distractions go away. So read the sixth theme.
Without love for Krishna, there is no freedom from bondage.
Now, seventh verse now. Yada anabashyatya yatha guneham swarte pramattas sahasa vipaschit gatasmriter vindati tatra tapan asadyamaitunyama agaramajnaha.
Even though one may be very learned and wise, he is mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is useless waste of time. Being forgetful of his own interest, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interest around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse and which brings him all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal.
So he's saying like a foolish animal, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interest in home and sex, which brings material miseries, like the Prabhupada says. in the last part of the purport, 3-4 lines, the Prabhupada is saying. See, yada na pashyati, ayata means useless, and guna iham, the products of three gunas, he is hankering for them. Swarthe, pramattaha, he is saying, although he is a vipaschit, see the word vipaschit means he is a learned madman. He is a learned madman. He is not an ordinary madman. He is a learned madman. He is saying. Yeah. See, there is a more finer explanation given to this, that freedom from karma takes place at the mature stage of bhakti mishra jnana, not jnana mixed with bhakti. Not at the immature stage. Little bit, it'll require explanation. See, there is a bhakti mishra jnana and jnana mishra bhakti. See, yoga mishra bhakti means a person has 90% bhakti and some 10% he has a tendency for, you know, yogi tendency is there. Similarly, there is also jnana mishra bhakti, which means it's mixed with some impersonalistic tinge. Bhakti is mixed. Bhakti mishra jnana means what? 90% jnana and only 10% bhakti. It's like that. Mostly it is jnana, but a little bit of bhakti. Therefore, you can see your Subodhini guide. Where is it? You see, this is 5-5. See, they have highlighted the 2 verses, 4 and 5, they highlighted. So, 6a, that's mind is subjugated to. By karma, covering of ignorance, jiva performs action fixed in the mind, karma vasham, okay? And 6b, liberation by love for Vasudeva, we have explained that. To be a devotee, one must be free from, free of material desires. So 7 to 9, they are going cutting through the knots of illusion. We read just now 7th, right? Yeah. Yeah, learned man is mad and foolish. If he, actually they have not given here the Bhakti Mishra, that is available in Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Okay, we will. Is it big enough for you? Or it's small? A great amount. All right? See, 7 to 9. Just now we read 7th one. Bhakti Mishra Jnana is given. So knowledge is useless without understanding the futility of sense gratification. And then he's saying, basic, that means, you know, even if one is a learned man, have you met learned panditas who may quote even from scriptures, but they have not come to the platform of detaching themselves from sense gratification? That is the point he's talking here. Because they don't know that sense gratification is futile. So, actually there are many. Like I was telling an example, in South India, they have one Bhakti Fest, they have. In the Bhakti Fest, many great speakers who are doctorate holders, they come and give talks. So, one lady, doctorate, she was speaking on Bhishma versus Krishna, you know. And the talk was so great, every 10 minutes people clapped hands, you know. Such a point she would make. Well, she's an eloquent speaker. And very boldly she speaks, and she's a doctorate also. So, actually, when I had gone to Coimbatore, I was shown a small clip of that. They showed me. I told my sister, she should be cultivated to make her into a devotee. How wonderful she's speaking. Her name is Elambirai Manimaran or somebody. So when I told my sister, she said, no, she speaks in the same manner about all demigods also. She speaks about Shakti also. She speaks about Shiva also. There also she gets hand clap. That means basically these people are doctorate people, they are learned people, they can give you information. Correct, no? So, they can give you information about different sections of Shastras in a very eloquent way, but they themselves are not committed or dedicated to devotional service. Is that clear? Like they are not sufficiently realized in understanding the futility of the material world. Like His Holiness Satchupadas Maharaj one time in America went to one university where he came to know that one doctor, one professor has done his doctorate in Jiva Goswami. So he went to his staff room to meet him, and that fellow was sitting As soon as Satpurusha Maharaj entered in the room, he saw him. Sir, are you the same professor who did on Jiva Goswami? He said, yes. Haribol, he said. However, that fellow was not saying Haribol. Why? He was not a Haribol devotee. And this fellow was looking up and down. See, he has done research in Jiva Goswami. That doesn't mean he is dedicated to Jiva Goswami. So, then after talking to him for an hour, half an hour, 1 hour, Satpurusha Maharaj understood that he is not a devotee. He might have done, somebody has done research on Lord Chaitanya also. They have done research on Lord Chaitanya's emotions, ecstatic bhava. They have done doctorates. But they won't chant one round also. Not even one round of Hare Krishna. They have nothing to give and take with bhakti. They did that study only for getting degree. And then they can get some job with that. That's what he's saying. Actually, there are many people who are very learned and they have knowledge, but they don't know the futility of sense gratification. Therefore, I was thinking, I don't want to become a learned devotee, I want to become a realized devotee, isn't it? Because if I can realize that sense gratification is futile and Krishna's lotus feet is my only shelter, better I do that, because that realization is far superior to being very highly learned. I can be learned in Sanskrit, or I can be learned in all the Shad Sandarbha. You know, you can be learned and it's not wrong to become learned at the same time get the realization that everything is futile. Correct, no? Or you can be learned and not have any realization that sense gratification is futile. Or you have realization that sense gratification is futile, you may not be learned. So, out of the three, which ones are good, you feel? First? In any case, the realization that sense gratification is futile has to come clear, no? Without that, all learning is simply null and void. How many of you understood that point? Yeah, that is the point. No? So, sometimes you see, somebody may give a eloquent Bhagavatam class. Like, there was one devotee who sings very beautifully with a long beard and, of course, with the mustache and beard and hair. He looks like a Babaji. He's a grihastha devotee. One time we had invited him for singing. He sings very nicely, what do you call it, Bhaktivinoda Thakur songs and everything. So he sang. When he sang, it was such an amazing kirtan. Everybody clapped hands. Because he has this mustache, beard and everything, he looks like a very realized soul also. So after the kirtan was over, I said, Prabhu, your kirtan was so heart-touching. Everybody, of course, he is Prabhupada disciple. But very humble devotee. So when I told him, Prabhu, your kirtan was so ecstatic, it just melted our hearts. He said, when I sing, I look more realized than actually I am. Like that he said. I look more realized, but actually I don't have that level of realization as my external appearances. Because there are many gurus nowadays, they have beautiful mustaches and beards. Many people think guru looks very realized, but actually realization doesn't come by mustache or beard. That's the point. You may have a beautiful mustache. One guru has a beautiful mustache, very famous guru. I don't want to mention the name. And when people asked him about God, you know what he said? You know, whatever you think God is, that is God, he said. You can think anything about God and that is God. So people bluff and have a beautiful mustache and beard. Therefore, His Holiness Bhaktivikas Swami Maharaj said, nowadays, the famous guru means a guru who has a long beard, at the end of which there is a hole which speaks all nonsense. As it is. So, great beard and mustache doesn't make you a great realized person. Although people look realized. You understand, no? So, one time one devotee came to Pune. He looked like a very effulgent devotee, tall devotee. The way he walked, he appeared like he has descended from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. He appeared like that. One of our devotees took him for the weekly program. You know, seeing that this devotee looks like very attractive to see. And that devotee sang many cinema songs in the lecture. So our devotee was in tension. When will he complete the lecture? After the lecture, he met the devotee and said, Prabhu, you know, I thought you would speak about Prabhupada or from Prabhupada. You are saying so many other things. He said, kya kare Prabhuji, no, I don't get time to study and all. But these songs I learnt in my school days, so I'm singing, and I was telling. So, why I'm telling, don't go by the external appearance of anyone. So, And also don't go by the learning of anyone. Somebody may be very learned, but they may have very little realization on how sense gratification is futile. It cannot make us happy. So therefore he is saying that, seventh one, the eighth one, Pumsaha Striya Amituni Bhavametam Tayor Mitho Hridaya Granti Mahuhu Atogriha Kshetra Sutapta Vittair Janasya Moho Yamaham Mameti.
The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties the heart together, the hearts of male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine.
Yeah. The amazing thing with this world is, a boy studying in a college, staying in a hostel, he never talks about father's property, you know, or bank balance or anything. But the moment he is married and he has children and he grows up, then the worry about, you know, how much property will I get, how much my brother will get, all these anxieties. So a new type of ahankara is created. Ahankara and mamakara arises after coming in contact with woman and begetting children and having the family. You will find that that type of anxiety comes. Correct, no? Before that, you would have never thought about it in his life at all. Isn't it? And also, you will see when you eat gulab jamun, you are attached to gulab jamun is not attached to you. Whereas, when a man and woman, when they develop attachment, he says one out of the two parties is fed up. And then that party wants to become more Krishna conscious, but other party doesn't leave. Therefore, this attachment is very strong. When he came, our resoluteness, Gaur Krishna Maharaj gave the clip example, you know. You know, he said, when you put a clip like this, you know, two clips are, you know, in the same manner, he was telling that one clip is ready to open and come out, other clip doesn't leave. Then later on, this clip becomes frustrated, this clip wants to leave, this clip doesn't leave. So this example he gave. So one, when he was giving lecture, one boy, small kid, 10-year-old, 10-12-year-old kid attended. So after the lecture was over, he met Maharaj and said, Maharaj, hamare pitaji ka clip mata ko chhutta nahi hai. Mataji bhakti mein gambhir banna chahti hai, lekin pitaji clip chhodte nahi. Like that he went and told Maharaj. One small kid. So Maharaj was telling me. Although he's a small boy, he's understood the example very well. So it's called as a two-way knot. It's a two-way knot. Whereas when you are eating gulab jamun, it's only one-way knot. If you are detached from gulab jamun, finished, you are saved. Therefore, he's saying that the basic principle of material existence is male-female attraction in this world. And this is there everywhere. You take the pigs, you take the dogs, cockroach, cockroachani, kutta, kutti, billa, billi, share, sharni. Similarly, male-female. Actually, why we should know this? It's very important. See, each verse is attacking one of the problems that leads to bondage. Each of these verses is talking about that. So one should not take this matter very lightly. So your woman is prakriti. Use the there is a word used in Chaitanya Charitamrita for a woman. She's called prakriti. Prakriti means one should not unnecessarily indulge with any woman for sense gratification. In the Vedic times, even all the wives of the sons, that means the daughter-in-laws, they were all in the Andarwadi. And the sons were all in the Baharwadi. Why? Because the women need other women to talk to, share. So they'd be combing the hair and chatting with other ladies in the home inside. While the men would be outside, and the men will go to the field, do the work. In the daytime, men were not allowed to meet with their wives and all. Because wives are in the middle of many other women, they cannot go and meet them. Because of that, the affection and attraction between husband and wife was pretty strong. Because when you live in a joint family with 40-50 people, you know, when you live in a family like that, although somebody may be your wife, you cannot easily access her. She's in Andarwadi, you are in Baharwadi. In Baharwadi, all the brothers would be doing business or field work and other things. And there is a time for them to meet in the night time. There is a time when they can be allowed to have some privacy. and they can meet like that. And this type of veneer or covering, you know, between the curtain between man and woman kept the respectability of husband and wife. It kept it increased. But in modern time, what happened? Man and woman are living as nuclear families. You know, any time of the day you can meet, you can unite, you can produce children like pigs and dogs. Like what happened with our Diti and Kashyapa. They united in the evening and they produced. So that is one bad thing that happened. Another thing is, when husband and wife are bereft of the advice of the grandmothers and grandfathers, you know, who would often give mature decisions for long-term welfare of the family, when they are not there, nuclear family means only husband, wife, child, that's all. They fight like tooth and nail, cats and dogs, and they separate through divorce. It's a very unfortunate thing. So, the nature of man-woman attraction is dushpurena analena cha. The more one enjoys, the more one will want to enjoy. And there is no end to it. This is arising from mode of passion. So, even you can imagine, your husband may say, wife is my property. Yes, she may be your property, but there is a restriction in the Vedic times, when to meet, when not to meet and all that, even for them. What to speak of other men? Actually, every man should see all women as a mother except one's wife. This is a Vedic civilized standard. There should be no unnecessary exchanges between a man and a woman other than for surveys. This is not a new thing I am telling you as if you are hearing a sermon from the sky. This, you know it already. But I am talking about this because one should not take this matter lightly. His Holiness Bhaktivinoda Swami in his book, this Brahmacharya Krishna Consciousness, he says, even a sannyasi holding a danda should not think this girl is just a 16, 18 year old girl. She is a little girl. I am like fit enough to be her father or grandfather. I can meet her privately if you want to. If she says that, Maharaj, I want to ask you something privately. I don't want anyone to hear. One should not entertain that privacy, he says. Because the example is given, Nanvagni Pramadanama Gritakumpa Samahpuman. The women are like fire and men are like butter. In the presence of fire, the butter must melt. So there is a warning given. So this is one topmost bondage for both men and women. I will show you one section of Bhagavatam. Actually, I am looking for one section where how should a husband see a wife and how should a wife see a husband. That is one very good instruction. I am not able to get it. Maybe I am surprised at how I couldn't. In Bhagavatam only I have read it. The wife should see. Correct. See here what it says. A woman should therefore consider her husband, her house and her children to be the arrangement of Maya Shakti of the Lord for her death, just as the sweet singing of the hunter is death for the deer. So Prabhupada explains here. Kapila Devi is explaining. It is explained that not only is woman the gateway to hell for man, but man is also the gateway to hell for woman. My Lord, it's a news for you, new thing. Right? So sometimes, all the time people talk in Shastra, hey, woman, woman, what woman? Women are not bad, attachment to woman is bad. Women are not to be condemned, but man's material attachment to woman is condemnable. Now here he says, it's a question of attachment, see Prabhupada says. A man becomes attached to a woman because of her service, her beauty and many other assets. And similarly, a woman becomes attached to a man for his giving her a nice place to live, ornaments, dress and children. So in this way, both parties can become attached to one another. He says, it's a question of attachment for one another. As long as either is attached to the other for such material enjoyment, the woman is dangerous for the man and man is also dangerous for the woman. So whenever you preach about this material attachment, please talk both the sides. But if the attachment is transferred to Krishna, both of them become Krishna conscious. And then marriage is very nice. Anasaktasya vishayan. Without developing attachment to one another, man and woman should develop attachment for Krishna. Man and woman should live together as householders in relationship with Krishna. only for the purpose of discharging duties in the service of Krishna. Engage the children, engage the wife, and engage the husband, and all in Krishna conscious duties. Then all these bodily or mental attachments will disappear. Since the Vaya medium is Krishna, the consciousness is pure, and there is no possibility of degradation at any time, like that Prabhupada writes. So this is... Therefore, a woman should consider her husband, her house, her children to be the arrangement of Maya for her death, just as sweet singing hunter is the death for a deer. Like what happens when the hunter is playing some instrument or singing, he does, then immediately the deer becomes very alert, because deer likes sweet sound. In whichever direction it comes, it goes. So as it goes, what that fellow does, hunter, behind the tree, as the deer comes near, he throws a rope around him and ties his neck and drags him and takes him away. Similarly, a husband also may be very materialistic. He may give necklaces, he may give costly saris, he may give nice big house, big car. So he may impress the wife with all these things and take her into materialistic in a path ahead. He may go. In this way, wife should think that I should not be misled by the luxuries and comforts that he is giving me and become misled. Rather, I should make my husband into a devotee. Like that she should think. You understand this point, no? Don't get carried away. Similarly, what should husband think about wife? That is in the previous verse, you will see. Yeah, read it.
A living entity who, as a result of attachment to woman in his previous life, has been endowed with the form of a woman, foolishly looks upon Maya in the form of man, her husband, and as the bestower of wealth, progeny, house, and other material assets.
Oh, this is also the same thing. This is also the same thing. Actually, he's saying how this woman became a woman. He's saying in the previous life he was a man, but he was attracted to the form of a woman, he says. And then he, now, which means he was a man, now he has become a woman. His Holiness Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj says, women are men who thought women are nice. Like that he says. You understood the meaning, no? So now he got a woman body now. But now, after getting the woman body, the living entity looks upon man. How? Her husband. Oh, this is my husband, she sees like that. Oh, he is the bestower of my money and progeny and house and all assets. So, like that he thinks. So Prabhupada is saying here, Due to that man's attachment to his wife, he now has the body of woman. See, a woman's attachment to her husband is glorified in Shastra. Whereas a man's attachment to wife is condemned. The reason is, if a woman is attached to her husband, next life she'll get what body? Man's body. If a man is attached to his wife, what body he'll get? You don't know? Woman's body, yeah. That's what he's saying here. See, due to his attachment to his wife, he has now the body of a woman. And then he's saying, Bhagavad Gita confirms this. A man gets his life's birth according to what he thinks at the time of death. If someone is too attached to his wife, naturally thinks of his wife at the time of death, and in his next life he takes the body of a woman. Similarly, if a woman thinks of her husband at the time of death, naturally she gets a woman. So in Hindu scriptures, therefore, woman's chastity and devotion to a man is greatly emphasized. The woman's attachment to her husband may elevate her to the body of a man in her next life. But a man's attachment to a woman will degrade him, and in his next life he'll get body of a woman. We should always remember, both gross and subtle metal bodies are dresses. They are like shirt and coat of the living entity. To be either a woman or a man only involves only bodily dress. The soul in nature, actually soul has no gender. The soul is not a male or a female. The soul is Prakriti. Like in the spiritual world, gopas are also females. And gopis are also females. Cows are also female. Grass is also female. The only male is who? Krishna. He is Purusha. And all others are called females. So that's the only gender. Purusha Prakriti is a gender. Not like in this world, if somebody is a Mataji, you call her female and then you call yourself male. So the only supreme male is Supreme Lord. So that is, in this way, otherwise the souls have no gender. In the body of a man, there is greater opportunity to get out of material clutches. There is less opportunity in the body of a woman. In this verse it appears that the body of a man should not be misused for developing attachment to a woman, he says. And a woman is generally fond of household prosperity, ornaments, furniture, dresses and all. She is satisfied when husband supplies all these things sufficiently. The relationship between man and woman is very complicated. But the substance is that one who aspires to ascend to transcendental state should be very careful in accepting the association of woman. So, however, such restriction of association may be slackened, because if a man's and woman's attachment is not to each other but to Krishna, then both of them are equally eligible to get out of the material entanglement and go back home, back to Godhead. He's saying, man should not be attached to a woman, nor should a woman be attached to man. Both man and woman should be attached to Krishna, service of the Lord. Like that he's saying. So, and one was before that he is telling about man, this thing, like you see. Read this quickly.
The woman created by the Lord is representation of Maya.
And Maya for whom? For? Correct. The woman created by the Lord is a representation of Maya for the woman, yeah.
And one who associates with such Maya by accepting services must certainly know that this is the way of death, just like blind well covered with a grass.
Yeah. Therefore, a man should not accept personal services from a woman. Then he says the example is given here, like a blind well covered with grass, he's saying. So sometimes there's a blind well, in the top there is grass. If an animal goes and puts the feet there, it will fall into the well. And proper saying, like rejected well. Similarly, association with the woman begins when one accepts services from her, because woman is especially created by the Lord to give service to man. By accepting a service, a man is entrapped. If he is not intelligent enough to know that she is the gateway to hellish life, he may indulge in her association very liberally. This is restricted for those who aspire to ascend to the transcendental platform. Even 50 years ago in Hindu society, such association was restricted. A wife could not see her husband during daytime. This is what I told you. See, Andarwadi, Baharwadi, and all I told you. This is what. Yeah. So women should not feel bad about this purport, because later on there is a compensation done for the man are also trouble to woman and woman are trouble to man. Prabhupada said man is good, woman is good. When they try to come close to each other, to enjoy each other, they become bad. Like that he said. But if they direct their attention to Lord, then they remain good. Correct, no? So this is the okay, this is covered. Basic principle of material existence, that is also covered. So I spent some time on this because I felt this is very important. Not only it's for brahmacharis, even those who are grihastha men, a husband and wife should jointly counsel a candidate. A husband should not counsel a mataji, nor can a mataji counsel a boy or a man. That is a wrong combination, even though they may be grihasthas also. Similarly, brahmachari should not counsel any wife of any man alone or on phone. That's not allowed actually. But he can talk to husband and wife together. So if a brahmachari is talking to a mataji, there should be one more man. Similarly, a husband is talking to a woman, there should be one more man. And that makes it very safe. In the presence of another man, a living entity cannot become a purusha. He cannot become an enjoyer. He will have little fear. Therefore, sometimes in email, when we write to Matajis, there are 5-6 people who are receivers of the mail. There are many Prabhus are receiving. So then the Matajis also there along with them. There is no problem. It's not private. It is public. So we have to be thoroughly honest in this relationship if you want to protect our consciousness. That's the warning given here. Prabhupada says the man-woman relationship is so complicated. Why he uses the word complicated? Because we become mental. So I had one lecture on, mental, sentimental, transcendental. We had one lecture on this. I think it will be there in Brahmachari classes, I think we did. See, transcendental is very good. But what happens? First you become mental and then people act sentimental. Becoming mental means what? Imagining somebody is interested in me. Somebody looked at me, somebody smiled at me, somebody is interested in me. See, the whole teenage world is revolving on this only. This is a dream world, we call it. What world? Dream world. When they marry, they will come to ground level. After that, there are many important responsibilities to be fulfilled. All this dream evaporates. But when one is not married, don't think this is problem of only teenager. You can be an 80-year-old man, still have this type of dream also. Because lust is such a foolish thing. Don't even talk about it. It is useless to talk about it. It is such a crazy thing. Therefore, the Chanakya Chandragupta story is there, no? That old man who is a lusty man. So, therefore, one should not take any chance. One should be very severe in this. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, for the lust, there is only one measure, which is danda. Don't go for sama, beda, dama and all. There is only danda only. Shoot at sight. If you see lust, that's all. Go ahead with Krishna's service, he says. Because the relationship of man and woman is very complicated. Don't unnecessarily get into this mess, he says. So, the easiest way for dealing between man and woman is etiquette, and in that etiquette, respect. We should follow the etiquettes which are prescribed just now I told you, and within that, respect. When there is a respect element, formality element, and etiquette element, then it is, then there is no problem in that. Yada mano hridaya grantirasya karmanubaddho drida ashlateta tada janasam parivartate smat mukta param yatyatihaya hetum. So we have a question. So what is the way to get out of this attachment? The solution is given here. Read it.
When the strong knot in the heart of a person implicated in material life due to the results of past action is slackened, one turns away from his attachment to home, wife and children. In this way, one gives up the basic principle of illusion, I and mine, and becomes liberated. Thus one goes to the transcendental world.
Yeah. Actually, this strong knot cannot be cut without following devotional service. Bhakti only one can develop jnana vairagya and then cut this kind of attachment. See, any of you have an experience, sometimes a shoelace, when you are putting, you have to put in such a way that when you do like that, it will come out. But some people don't know how to do that. They do it in such a way, it's called a pig knot comes. You see? Then again, you fold it like this and try once more, one more pig knot comes. Any of you experience? Correct now. And pig knot, is it easy to open? And you have to go to school now, and you are not able to open the shoe because of the lace is not opening. So what to do? Take one blade, cut it, and throw the lace away, wear the shoe and run to the school. Later on you can purchase new lace. Correct now? Any of you have done it? Correct now, it happens. Similarly, he is saying, there is no question of slowly slackening the attachment. That will not happen. Cut it. Huh? That's what he is saying here. Hmm? Yeah, Dhritarashtra was told by Vidura, is it not true? He said, get up now, go to the forest. Follow me, he said. And then Vidura walked ahead and Dhritarashtra followed and Gandhari followed. Dhritarashtra didn't invite Gandhari, but Gandhari wanted to follow. And Vanaprastha stage, wife is allowed to follow the husband. But she followed her husband not for sense gratification, but for practicing spiritual life. She followed him. So you will find, the Shastras say that Yuvana is trying to I remember in those days there was one senior brahmachari, he went to some abroad, some place where he was supposed to give lectures. The temple devotees said that we don't have a guest house in the temple, you stay in the house of some congregation. The congregation people are elderly, you know, they were, and they had one daughter only, who is a teenage daughter. But this fellow stayed in their home to go for the presentation and all that, I mean, some seminars and all. But then he developed attachment for her, and she developed her attachment. So eventually, when he came back, his guru came to know. He told the guru. Guru told him, you know, give up this attachment. It is only moha. It is only illusion. Looking at the forms of each other, we develop a desire to enjoy each other. It's simply a moha. It's like a kohra. It's like a fog. Evaporates. Like when you are lying down in the terrace, look in the clouds. The clouds sometimes make formation like an elephant. Later on they make formation like a big bungalow. Later on they make formation like a tree. The cloud keeps changing. But the cloud is which one? Which one out of the three? None of it. Similarly, Guru told him, this is simply a passing phase. The moha that you are feeling. But this one, then Guru told him, throw away your mobile, old mobile, take a new one. and don't connect with her. You have not done anything wrong. You just developed attraction for her, and your little bit the ghost of attachment has entered you. Huh? Isn't it? And it is haunting you. And the ghost can be removed. I am the ghost remover, isn't it? I will help you. So he said, forget about her and just get into preaching. Everything will be all right. So what he did, he threw away the old mobile. But before throwing, he took that number, her number, and kept her. Yeah. He said, in case, you know, she has to ask me something, you know, I have already told her you get married with somebody, you know, in case, because, you know, that poor soul should not suffer trying to contact me, you know, like that. And one day he just gave a missed call, you know, from this number. And then she saw, who is this number? And she found out this is a fellow. Again, the old sambandha got. You see, what I am telling you is not an ordinary story. This happens in all parts of the world. Man-woman connection is a very complicated thing. This fellow would have got saved. But finally what he did, again he connected. And then he called her, and when she called, he took up the phone and said, actually my Guru Maharaj has told me this. I want to tell you, please get married to somebody else. I wish that you be happy in your life. I am just talking to you so that you will be happy, and I will be happy in ashram, and you will be happy in your, you know, your newly married life. And then she said, don't talk on phone, come personally. I want to talk to you. He said, but my Guru is saying, what Guru? Guru will bless both of us if we marry. Don't worry, I will also take diksha from him. And she said, you don't need a single penny money. She said, my father is a billionaire. You come, you marry me, I am the only daughter, all his property is mine. And you marry and you can live very lavishly. And we both can chant and dance together. We can preach together. And he got sold out. So, therefore, you know, this Maharaj, our His Holiness Gaurakrishna Maharaj was telling one fellow, one brahmachari. He asked the brahmachari, "Arey, tumne sab kuch chhodkar kyon join kiya?" He asked. "Fir kya Maharaj? Gade ke saman kaam karna padta bahar ke dunya mein. Ham chhodkar aage Bhagwan ke padakamal mein aashay lene ke liye. Ham Bhagwat ham laut jayenge." Then Maharaj said, "Agar koi ladki aati hai jo karodpati ki beti hai, ikalauta beti hai, wo bolti hai ki tumse main shaadi kar lungi, tumko kuch kaam kaj karna nahi." घर में बैठो, हम दोनों खुशी मनाएंगे. हा? कुछ नहीं करना है तुमको, फिर क्या करोगे तुम? इधर महाराज आते हैं. एंड ही थॉट, और तभी तो थोड़ा सोचना पड़ेगा महाराज. यू नो ही सेड, देन महाराज सेड, अरे बदमाश, ही गेव हिम वन थिंग, यू आर रास्कल, यू आर इन व्हाट काइंड ऑफ, यू आर नॉट अ ब्रह्मचारी और भ्रष्टाचारी. करेक्ट ना? सो देयरफॉर दिस इज कॉम्प्लिकेटेड, यू सी. Yeah. So there is no question of slackening. You just cut it, that's all. Cut it means throw away the mobile, that's all. His Guru told him, but he didn't follow the Guru. Correct, no? Again he got hooked up, you see. And then 10 to 13, there are 25 items given. See, there are 25 items to destroy the subtle body. Actually, gross body is no problem at all. The problem is what? Subtle body only. Because grass body anyway gets old, anyway leaves, at the time of death, what is it? Vasamsi jirinani. Correct, no? It becomes jirina. But subtle body covers the soul and goes life after, it doesn't leave it very easily. There is only one verse in Bhagavatam I found where it says, Jarayatyashyakosham nigirina manalo yatha. It says, just like a wood is burned in fire, the subtle body can be destroyed completely. It is destroyed by bhakti. When our affection, love for Krishna awakens, you know, subtle body becomes completely purified by that spiritual attachment. So, here are 25 items given. Now we can go to your Subodhini guide, you can go. You will find 10 to... Yeah, see, beautifully they are given point wise. See, come to page number 49. So I will request someone to read these items in the bottom of page number 49 and verse 10 to 13. 25 processes to destroy ahankara. Ahankara and attain liberation. Yeah. So this is Jnana Mishra Bhakti. This is for attaining liberation. But bhakti also will be one of the angas, small angas in this. Just like you know that 13th chapter, 8 to 12. Mayicha Ananya Yogena Bhakti Ravya Bicharani. That is one item out of 20 items. Similarly here also. Now read it, somebody.
Processes to destroy ahankar and attain liberation. First, following the Guru with devotion. Second, detaching from matter with Rishnaya.
Third, so you can do one thing. You can keep Subodhini guide like this. And we will read the translation which is more sweet because Rishabha is directly speaking, Rishabha to his sons. We will read this, but you have to keep seeing these items also. Is it possible for you? You can do that. So that you know the item also, and therefore let us hear from Rishabha Dev's mouth directly speaking to his son. That is more nice. You read the translation and you can also see this.
Oh my sons, you should accept a highly elevated Paramhamsa, a spiritually advanced spiritual master. In this way, you should place your faith and love in me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should detest sense gratification and tolerate the duality of pleasure and pain, which are like seasonal changes of summer and winter.
See, nice Sanskrit words are available here. You say, Hamse Gurav Mai Bhaktyanu Vritya. He is saying. And similarly, how to detach from matter? Vitrishnaya. And then Dvandvatitikshaya. So very nice Sanskrit, right words are used. Yeah, go ahead.
Try to realize the miserable condition of living entities who are miserable even in the higher planetary systems.
Even Indra, including Indra and others, even they are in trouble. Yeah.
Philosophically inquire about the truth, then undergo all kinds of austerities and penances for sake of devotional service. Give up the endeavor for sense enjoyment and engage in the service of Lord. Listen to discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always associate with devotees. Chant about and glorify the Supreme Lord and look upon everyone equally on the spiritual platform. Give up enmity and subdue anger and lamentation. Abandon identifying the self with body and the home and practice reading the revealed scriptures. Live in a secluded place and practice the process by which you can completely control your life air, mind and senses. Have full faith in revealed scriptures, the Vedic literatures and always observe celibacy. Perform your prescribed duties and avoid unnecessary talks. Always thinking of Supreme Personality of Godhead, acquire knowledge from the right source. Thus practicing Bhakti Yoga, you will patiently and enthusiastically be elevated in knowledge and will be able to give up the false ego.
So, these 25 items are said. And then it says, if you see Subodhini guide, result, by following these instructions, what will happen? One will be freed from? Yeah. Karma ashayam. Ignorance of desire for fruitive activity will be gone. And the knot of bondage in the heart. Hridaya granti bandham. These two will be gone. What is the desire for fruitive activity? This is the basis of material life. See, the word fruitive in Bhagavad Gita also it comes. Like for example, in a tree, what is the item you like the most in a tree? Similarly, in our material body, the item that we like the most is, you know, what we can get in this world for our enjoyment. Therefore, the word fruit is used. Fruitive mentality. Like for example, you know, few devotees are going together to distribute books and come back. So, next day morning they are sitting in Mangalarti. What will they expect? Score. That is the fruit. Correct, no? Yeah. Similarly, you are preaching in voice. You are going to college. 1 year you preach now. After the May, June, what will you expect? Yeah. Somebody should shift in. You get the fruits. That is the fruits. Correct, no? So, you will find that in every activity you do, there is a fruit attached. Yeah. And it's not wrong that we have to work for attaining some fruit, but we have to offer it to the Lord, to Guru and Gauranga. That is the most difficult thing, because there is a tendency for grabbing the credit for oneself and dismissing others, taking that. That is why it's called fruity mentality. Please repeat that verse. Yukta karma phalam tyaktva shantimapnoti naishtikim. ಅಯುಕ್ತಕಾಮಕಾರೇಣ ಫಲೇ ಸಕ್ತೋ ನಿಬದ್ಯತೆ. ಸೊ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ಯುಕ್ತ ಕರ್ಮ ಫಲಂ ತ್ಯಕ್ತ್ವ ದೋಸ್ ಆರ್ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಾನ್ಷಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ದೇ ಗಿವ್ ಅಪ್ ದ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಟು ದ ಫ್ರೂಟ್ಸ್ ಶಾಂತಿ ಮಾಪ್ನೋತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ ದೇ ಗೆಟ್ ಅಟೈನ್ ಶಾಂತಿ ದೇ ಫೀಲ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಡನ್ ಮೈ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಇವನ್ ಇಫ್ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಗ್ರಾಬ್ಸ್ ದ ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್ ಹೂ ಕೇರ್ಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ವೆದರ್ ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ಮೀ ಆರ್ ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್ ಗೋಸ್ ಟು ಹಿಮ್ ಸೊ ದೇ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಟು ಮಚ್ ವರಿಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಬಟ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ದಟ್ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ಲಿ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಡನ್ ಬಟ್ ಅಯುಕ್ತ ಕಾಮಕಾರೇಣ ದೋಸ್ ಆರ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಡ್ ಟು ಡ್ಯೂ ಟು ದ ಸ್ಟ್ರಾಂಗ್ ಎಂಜಾಯಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ರಪೆನ್ಸಿಟಿ ಫಲೇ ಸಕ್ತೋ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಡ್ ಟು ದ ಫ್ರೂಟ್ಸ್ ನಿಬದ್ಯತೆ ದೇ ಗೆಟ್ ಬೌಂಡ್ ಐದರ್ ಈ ಸೈಸ್ ಸೊ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರೈಸ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ರೇವಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ಫ್ರೂಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಕ್ರೇವಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಕ್ರೆಡಿಟ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟಿ ದಟ್ ದ ಜೀವ ಡಸ್ ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಎಂಜಾಯಿಂಗ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ದ ಬೇಸಿಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ರನ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಸೊ ಹೀ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಡ್ಯೂ ಟು ಇಗ್ನೋರೆನ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ ಯು ಆರ್ ದ ಸೋಲ್ ಬಟ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇಗ್ನೋರೆನ್ಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯ್ಡ್ ಬೈ ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಯು ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ರೂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಫ್ರೂಟಿವ್ ಮೆಂಟಾಲಿಟಿ ಅಹಂಕಾರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಮಮಕಾರ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಟು ಮಚ್ ಹೈ ಎಸ್ಟಿಮೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಸ್ ಹೂ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಯುನೋ ಲೈಕ್ somebody says no I was the first one to start this you know nobody else can do this I am indispensable without me things cannot run you know I am a specialist in this particular service although there may be many others you know no one can do this particular thing and as good as I can do or even if someone else has to do they have to consult me without my suggestion my good advice my blessings nothing can move so these are all actually called ahankar ಅಹಂಕಾರ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಅ ಉಸ್ತಾದ್ ಏನೋ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಅ ಸ್ಪೆಷಲಿಸ್ಟ್ ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಫೀಲಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮಮಕಾರ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಯುನೋ ದಿಸ್ ಪೊಸೆಸಿವ್ ಮೆಂಟಾಲಿಟಿ ಯುನೋ ಲೈಕ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಯು ಫೈಂಡ್ ಹೇ ಹೂ ಈಸ್ ಟೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಮೈ ಕಾರ್ ಸಂಬಳಿಗೆ ಏನೋ ಪ್ರಭುಜಿ ಯುವರ್ ಕಾರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಐಡ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ನೋ ಎಂಗೇಜ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಕಾರ್ ಸೊ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಟೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್ ಬಟ್ ಹೌ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ದೇ ಟೇಕ್ ಮೈ ಕಾರ್ ವಿದೌಟ್ ಆಸ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ಮೀ you know but probably you hadn't asked you wanted to use the car for going somewhere so they are so you will find that although the shastras say my wife my children my family members he says this is mamakar but mamakar can come with everything you know my room my locker you know even the Ramanuja's disciples they fought for what you all know correct isn't it as such a thing as small as a kopin one can fight for that my gamsha You can do a Rudra Tandav if you don't find your Gamsha. You know? Correct, no? And such a poor little Gamsha actually. You always get new one whenever you lose the old one. So Mamakar can come for even petty things like that. And what if you can be so attached to your Gamsha, what to speak of if you have your house, your job, your profession, your cabin, your laptop, your this, your that. So Vedavyasa says that this Ahankar and Mamakar is the root of fruity mentality. And to attack this, actually real possessive mentality is I am Krishna's property and Krishna is mine this is real mamakar and what is the real ahankar jeeva sarpa hoy krishna nirantar das this is the right shuddha ahankar whereas ashuddha ahankar is you know I am not dasanu das I am basanu bas that is impure ahankar so one will be freed from that and the hriday granthi will be finished he saying See, note is very important. Read that note below.
Note. The process of liberation is Brahma Jignyasa or Neti Neti, the process by which one analyzes existence to search out the absolute truth. This analysis continues only until one is situated in Parabhakti or transcendental devotional service to the Lord. One can give up the practice of yoga, but bhakti should never be given up.
Why he is saying this? In the 14th verse, if you see, go to the 14th verse. See, read that translation.
As I have advised you, my dear sons, you should act accordingly. Be very careful. By this means, you will be freed from the ignorance of the desire for fruitive activity and the knot of bondage in the heart will be completely severed. For further advancement, you should also give up the means. That is, you should not become attached to the process of liberation itself.
Yeah. So that is what he has explained here. Now somebody may be thinking, actually let me explain this, this requires a little explanation. See, in the path of in the Bhagavad Gita, the first 6 chapters talk about karma. Second 6 chapters talk about bhakti. And third 6 chapters talk about jnana. Now somebody may say, after the Lord has given bhakti in the middle of Bhagavad Gita, 12 chapters are over, then what is the need of jnana further? You know, urdhva, moola, madhushakam, all these things. You know, what is the need? That is explained by Chakravarti Thakur. If you read in his commentary, he says that Lord wants to equip his devotees with jnana so that during their lifetime in the material world, they will not fall prey to maya. So he wants to give them the knowledge of the material world, 3 gunas, how they act in this world, how the karma is acting in this world, how the kala is acting, how the gunas are acting in this world. So because devotees, although they are doing devotional service, they can be knocked down in devotional service in the neophyte stage if they don't have knowledge of the functioning of the material world. Therefore, in the last 6 chapters he gives. So, and then again he will come back to, you know, that verse, what is that verse? He will repeat that verse. Manmana, bhava, madbhakto, madhyaji, maam namaskuru. Only the second line is different. Maame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayana, he says. Earlier he says that, maame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyasme. That means Krishna tells jnana, again winds up jnana and comes back to bhakti again, he says. Then subsequently he says, sarvadharman parityajya. So sarvadharman parityajya verse says, or one should surrender, and manmana verse says, the components of surrender. So those both very clearly indicate that this is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Jnana is not the conclusion. Bhakti is the conclusion. So that is the essential instruction of Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, so jnana is not the goal, but the tool which a devotee can use in order to develop vairagya. For example, Gayatri Mantra which we chant, that's meant for purification, Gayatri Mantra. But to chant Gayatri, you have to be a Brahman. Brahman Diksha has to be required. And Gayatri takes us up to the Brahman platform. One goes to the spiritual sky. Of course, we don't chant only the Brahma Gayatri, we also chant 6 other Gayatris also. But when one chants the Gayatri, and beyond that, Harekshna Mantra will take us back to Godhead, into the spiritual world. Development of prema will happen. But Mahamantra can be chanted even by a chandala also. Say chandala is here, for example, and the Gayatri Mantra comes here when you become Brahman. Then both are, that means Mahamantra is taking you up, 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 up. Gayatri acts as a catalyst. And then Gayatri reaches you up to the Brahman platform of realization, Nashochita, Nakankshati platform. And Harekshna Mantra takes you to Yugala, you know, Yugala Bhakti of Radha and Krishna surrender, like that. So now somebody may say, why do you chant Gayatri? What is the need? Because you want to catalyze bhakti. Like if you, similarly the deity worship also, when you do, you will become punctual, you will become more clean, cleanliness, punctuality, commitment, dedication, you know, and then personal touch with the Lord. Multiple advantages are there, you know, in developing affection for the Lord. Similarly, Gayatri chanting, we'll be reading in the Bharata section. Actually, when we chant Gayatri, we meditate on Lord Vishnu in the Surya, because the Surya's energy actually comes from Lord Vishnu. We meditate on him, and then eventually we get purified. It's like purification that accompanies chanting of the holy name. Because sometimes a devotee, due to lack of purification, may be slow in his process of progress. So here also, if you find the 25 items we read, these items, if you carefully see, they all actually act as an aid or a tool in performing our bhakti better. Like mode of goodness, if you see, you know, it is an aid in bhakti. Do you agree? And that aids bhakti or not? Mode of goodness. Like that only these 25 items also. But ultimately bhakti is supreme. And bhakti is like the soul of all spiritual practices. Other spiritual practices can aid it. But what he is saying, that when you come to the ultimate stage of bhakti, he says the such tool as jnana, which you might use, that also should be given up for further advancement. And what is the meaning of that, I'll tell you. For example, you have to break a lesser rule for a greater rule. Correct, no? Like for example, From a jnana point of view, there may be one rule, but from a bhakti point of view, there is another rule. One example I can tell you, Bhattacharya was given some Mahaprasad early morning, and without, you know, saying a second word, he just put it in the mouth, although he's a great jnani. And he said, Prapta Matrena Bhoktavyam, he said. As soon as one gets prasad, immediately one should eat. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, how is it? You know, without taking bath, washing mouth, you are eating the prasad. So Bhattacharya quoted this from Puranas. Prapta Matrena Bhoktavyam. If prasad should not be delayed, one should immediately eat it. Like that he said. And Mahaprabhu heard, saw this, and he said, he was a smartha brahmana, Bhattacharya. Now he has transcended his rules and regulations to strictly adhere to the spontaneous path of bhakti yoga. And Mahaprabhu started dancing in ecstasy, appreciating how they both started dancing together, Bhattacharya and Mahaprabhu, seeing this. That means the rules and regulations have to be followed, but sometimes for a greater rule, the lesser rule should be broken. You understand this point, no? Similarly, he is saying here, by these means, you will be freed from ignorance of the desire for fruitive activity, and the knot of bondage in the heart will be completely severed. For further advancement, you should also give up the means. That means these kind of means, like for example, another example, one of the 25 items I'll tell you, living in a secluded place. Correct, no? That is one of the means. Correct? If everybody is disturbing in society, you go to a secluded place. But sometimes living in secluded place may not be favorable for, anukul for bhakti. So you have to give it up. Correct, no? Like say you are thinking that I want to prepare, you are giving a saptaha or something, you want to prepare for 5 days or 6 days. So you may use those 5-6 days, go to some student center somewhere or some place where you can focus very nicely. But then that seclusion is not good if you are not Krishna conscious. You agree, no? Therefore he is saying that these items should always be seen whether they are anukul for bhakti or pratikul for bhakti. Correct, no? In case they are pratikul, one will have to give them up. One should not be attached to them like that. And the Prabhupada is explaining that, see, last line of the purport. Fourth line from bottom. One may give up the practice of yoga when one is self-realized, but at no stage can one give up devotional service. All other activities of self-realization, including yoga and jnana, may be given up. But devotional service must be retained at all times. For example, you may be an analytical observer of Shastra, but after bhakti has awakened, you have no more doubts in Shastra, correct, no? Then you may not be all the time you may not be analytically seeing everything. When the bhakti is attained, you just chant and dance after that. Similarly, you may adopt Ashtanga Yoga, Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana, Pratyahara, which Dhruva Maharaj adopted. Now, once he saw Vishnu face to face, you know, when he went to Badrikashrama later, you know, during that Vaikuntha airplane came, no? At that time, Chakravarti Thakur says, that time also he adopted Ashtanga Yoga for 2 or 4 days, like that he says, 2-3 days. Just to set an example for the Ashtanga Yogis, but he was not interested, he's saying. Because, you know, he gave it up. He thought that, what is the need now? Already bhakti has come now, Lord Vishnu has given darshan. There is no need of Ashtanga Yoga. He gave it up. You understand the point, no? So certain things are used as tools, but they are not goal. That is the point. So we will come back at 3 when we get Srila Prabhupada ki.